We are grateful to the Lord that tonight we can be here again to worship. And we believe that he will bless us, that he will speak with us, and that we will hear and that we will obey what he says. Many have heard our Lord when he at that time walked on this earth, and just a few they did accordingly. And therefore our Lord says that we should hear rightly and doing accordingly. I would like likewise welcoming all of you, wishing all God's blessing with all my heart. I actually had in my heart that we ask God for his grace to give us meetings, gatherings, as they were in the early church, services in which the Lord can reveal himself to us and to those who seek him. Services in which we not only hear his word, but that we believe it and that we experience his power, receiving it, receiving what we have prayed for. Long enough we have heard the word of God. And faith should be here so that the Lord can really reveal himself to us. He is able to do everything. And he must give us the need and the longing into our hearts for the lost. Beloved, I don't know who said it, whether Georg Müller or whoever it was, or Bodel Schwing, somebody said, I fear that if the believers have lost the longing for the salvation of the unbelievers, that they are just about to get lost themselves. And this is not far from the truth. He who is saved wants to like to see that others are being saved. And it's not written in the Bible that there will be joy in heaven when a dead resurrects, or when a blind receives his sight, or when a lame walks. But it is written, there shall be joy in heaven when a sinner repents and when he comes to the Lord. Then there will be joy in heaven. And so we want to place our focus really on that, asking God to walk forward by faith and to cast out the net of the gospel. And I would like to say, we just stand up once again and bring God all these requests, and we ask him that he blesses us. Heavenly Father, we are coming into your holy presence, O God. You know the needs, the sicknesses, all the problems, whether they affect us or others. Lord, your word says, when one member suffers, then the whole body suffers. Oh Lord, we ask you together, be merciful to us for your holy name's sake. Lord, testify of yourself as the living one, as the true one, as the risen one. Confirm thy word by signs and wonders following. Let your spirit fall. Work faith in our hearts. Make us free in your presence. Loosen us from everything, O Lord, so that we can meet you and so that you can meet us, especially the sick, Lord, who are so affected. We lay them before you. Give us authority, because the healing is accomplished. When you died on the cross of Calvary, we were redeemed and healed. It is finished. Give us grace, authority, and faith to accept this perfect redemption according to spirit, soul, and body, and to preach it to the people, namely to the lost, that they are saved, to the bound, that they are set free, and to the sick, that they are healed. O God, may your spirit rest upon all of us, so that all this by faith we can do in your name. You are good, and you will bless beyond asking and beyond understanding. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's on my heart tonight to speak about what God has made out of us and what we are truly in His eyes. In the word of introduction, we have heard what was said, and our attention was drawn to hear. And right after this command, it is written, don't be proud. And out of this comes forth that only he who is humble can hear and will hear. All who are proud, they will not hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. They will not hear what God has spoken in this time. Here we are told, hear and pay attention. Don't be proud, for the Lord has spoken. How often we have heard it in the sermons that not Moses and not the prophets, but that God spoke through the prophets, and therefore they could say, thus saith the Lord, because it was a direct speaking of God. And it's written in Hebrews 1 verse 1 that God at sundry times spoke through the prophets in diverse manners unto the fathers. And today we want to find out what these men were through which God spoke to the fathers. To know what we are in the eyes of God, if we understood that God has spoken to us. In this text we are required to not to wait until darkness sets in, but to walk in the light. Our Lord, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 8, verse 12, he spoke the well-known words, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. How often did we hear the emphasis from the verse of the prophet Zechariah? At evening time there shall be light, and it has become light. The Lord says, he that followeth me, not who follows another one, but he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The contrary of it is, he that followeth him not will abide in darkness, and the light of life shall not flash forth for him, because we must first receive new life before the light of life can flash out to us. When we just turn two pages, then it says in the Gospel of John, in chapter 10, a well-known scripture to all of us. Here it's written from verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. Let us stop here a bit at this thought, which we want to emphasize today. Jesus Christ, our Lord, as the Son of God, he became manifested in the flesh. This we all know. And the Holy Scripture says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus came into the flesh is of God. Also here, some things should be said here. Namely, that not only, it's not only about a lip confession, but about a revelation through the Spirit of God. There are many people who say, huh, Jesus walked this earth and he was in the flesh. With this, not everything was said. Of course, not that what is being important before God. But we know that the word which was in the beginning, it became flesh, it dwelt amongst us, and we behold his glory. But tonight, it's about you and about me. who Jesus Christ is, this we should know by His grace. The question is whether we know who we are, who we may be by grace. The Lord did the justification with these words. If the scripture already called those men to whom the word of God was addressed, if they were called gods, and the scripture cannot be broken, these men, namely the prophets, the prophets of God, to whom the word of God came, they were called gods, because something divine, a divine substance, was laid into them, and became a part of their earthly being. The body which they had was a human body. The word which they received was divine substance. And because they received this word of God, they were called gods, being brought into connection with God. And they had a relationship with God. Here the people said to our Lord, "Thou who art a man, makest thyself God." One could have said to the prophets, Ye who are men, what do you make out of yourself? They didn't make anything out of themselves. God made them that for what they were ordained. And we are doing good if we understand what God has made out of us. Perhaps we can then overcome the spiritual paralysis. There must be a point that we break through the sound barrier and that we are getting aware of it, what we actually are in the eyes of God. The prophets, they were all men, just like you and me. And it's even written in the Epistle of James, Elijah was a man like we are. Yes, this is correct. He was a man as we are. And if you want to speak of our Lord, then it is written that he was being found in fashion as a man. And these people just saw a man. They didn't see God in this human shape. But they said, "You, who are just a man, you make yourself God." They didn't understand that he was God, who took upon him the shape of a man. And already tonight, we come to the thought which Brother Branham used in the sermon, "Who is this Melchizedek?" God, firstly, he had a thought, and then he expressed himself in a spiritual body, and from the spiritual body, he then came into the flesh. We were never in the spiritual body, but from eternity on, we were in the thoughts of God, And in Christ, we were chosen from before the foundation of the world, and we were predestinated in Christ. And now comes the point. When the translation will take place, then we will be in the spiritual body, which we bypassed. But we don't want to go here into detail tonight. The men to whom the word of God was addressed, they were called gods. And if we today make the comparison and saying, the Almighty God was in heaven and had his representatives, representatives here on this earth. He laid his word into them, touched their lips, anointing them, and they spoke in his name. And these men, to whom the word of God was addressed, they were called gods. And then it says, the scripture can of course not be broken. Who are the men to whom the word of God is addressed? Who are you and who am I? Are we men, ordinary men, or is by the divine substance of the word of God was laid into us, which distinguishes us from all other people? Outwardly, we are all somewhat the same, but spiritually, this is not the case. And you will see from the Old Testament word, which makes the parallel here, the Lord God even announced to them that they will die although they are gods. And this I would like to read you from Psalms. It's of course a wonderful Psalm, 82. Here it's written, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. Let us stop here at the first verse. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. What was this congregation? The next verse gives the answer. He judges among the gods. And who were these gods? Who were called gods? Those to whom the word of God was addressed. And you will see right now, from the context, that this is so. Verse 2. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked, defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked? They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. Here's the connection with sons and daughters of the Most High, with the congregation and with them who are called gods by him. And let us understand today, they were not idols, because idols have a mouth and cannot speak. They have ears and cannot hear. They have eyes and cannot see. But men of God, to whom the word of God was addressed, they have a mouth to speak. They have eyes to see. And they have ears to hear what God has to say to them. And also to us, namely to me and to you, he has to say. I have said myself, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But even them, they were predestinated to be sons of God because they received the word of God. I said myself, not another one, but God has said himself, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men. Did you understand this? Ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. And nevertheless, ye shall die like men. But the divine did not die in them. They, of course, went past from here, but we know where they have gone. And they were waiting unto the Redeemer who addressed his word to them. And I say once again, they had divine substance in this earthly body or in their soul. And by this, they had the guarantee that they will not remain in the grave. And we can read it in Matthew 27 from verse 51, when Christ our Lord and Savior died. There was a mighty earthquake, the rocks split, and the graves were opened, and many of the sleeping saints rose and appeared unto many in the holy city. Yes. Now you might say, these were prophets. But who are we? Yes. This we can say, yes. But perhaps, and not perhaps, but with certainty it can be said that unbelief is our destruction, our perdition. As sure as faith is the victory, so sure unbelief is the defeat. Something else does not exist. So we must confess by faith what God made out of us. We are aware of that believers and unbelievers are dying the same, as one can perceive it on the outside. Both are laid into the coffin. Both are buried. Outwardly, there cannot be seen a difference. But I tell you, God made a difference between him who serves him and between him who does not serve him, between him who believes him and between him who does not believe him, between the children of God and the children of this world. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Already they were called children of God. The plan of redemption, of course, not just a couple of years ago was purposed, but from eternity on it was purposed. And the prophet Isaiah says it in one chapter. Abraham does not know anything of us. You are our father. The seed of Abraham, the true believers, the prophets, and all of the people of God who received the word of God, they were predestinated to be sons and daughters of God. Most surely, let it be emphasized once again, outwardly we could say, man, Noah, shall you be counted amongst those who are called sons of the Most High, called as gods? And if one then reads somewhere and sees what happened there in the natural, then one could mean, Noah, you were everything else, but this you could not have been. And I tell you today, based upon the authority of the Word of God, which we have before us and which we read, that all to whom the Word of God was addressed from the God's perspective, they were gods and sons of God. How is it now with you and with me? Our Lord, of course, gave the answer. If I would have to give it tonight, then you could go home critical and say, what the brother preached us tonight, this is very new to me. Yes, perhaps not so new, but a bit new. And this is a pity that we didn't come earlier on this point to understand when the word of prophecy, if the word which has gone forth to the men, when it had such an impact that they were made gods and to sons of the Most High, what shall be after Calvary with you and with me, after the price was paid for, and when the word of God in all its fullness has gone forth to us? We are sons and daughters of God by faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Is this so or not? And doesn't say the Holy Scripture that we are of divine kindred? Is it not written that we are a holy priesthood of our God, and that we shall reign with him as kings? What happened in this generation? God used a man in a special way as an example to show what can happen through men to whom the word of God was addressed. Into them does not come an empty letter, but in the word of God which came into this man was the power of God to make them sons of God. And the same it is also now the case. We are of course not only hearing empty words, but words of the power, words which are spirit and life, and therefore they work spirit and life in us. God laid a divine substance into us. And his word which came forth from him is of course by which everything came into existence. And if you think about that on the cross of Calvary, a total and absolute redemption took place. And that what could be imputed to the old man on the cross of Calvary, it was settled. And that the letter of requirements was paid for. And that we no more have to look on ourselves as men who will die if the Lord tarries, as all the others. But we believe that we are sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not only that our guilt is paid for and that our sin was forgiven. Sometimes I have the impression as if we turn around in circles, namely always about around the one that the Lord may forgive us. And this is good so. There's no man on this earth who should not come before God and saying, Lord, everything what cannot stand before you, may you take it away. But this we do all our believing life without being aware of what God has made out of us. Sons and daughters of God, we have become equipped with his divine power. And we believe that he is the creator. And when his word was addressed to us, then there's creation power, divine power in you and in me, in the bride church. It will and must be manifested if we've taken our stand in Christ, recognizing it. Then by these mighty sermons which were preached by the commission of God, have we been preached to death, or have we been brought to life by the grace of our God? Beloved, we have a great privilege. The summary of all of the counsel of God, to hear it, to receive it, and to believe it with all our hearts. With this, God's word was addressed to you and to me. And we are not just humankind. We are of divine kind. Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. And we are born of God. And by grace, we received new life. Let us understand what God wants to tell us through this word tonight. Not only that we have become believers, but as sons and daughters of God, to take our stand and to take over the responsibility before God. Those to whom the word of God was addressed or came, that's how our Lord Jesus says it. They were called gods and children of the Most High. We, who are here tonight, we are We have become children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But this, many are saying, and the prophetic light for this time, they don't see because they are not ready to follow the Lord. Somewhere they stopped on the spiritual way. But God has a remnant which doesn't stop, which doesn't walk forward to the left or right, but which walks with the Lord God, walking forward according to His word. Then He takes over the responsibility, and in every way He will take care for us. These men, whom the Lord called gods, they had to go through many trials. In Hebrews chapter 11, we are reported that the earth, the world was not worthy of them. They were killed, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder. They stayed in caves. They walked and wandered around. But they carried a precious seed, namely the seed of the eternal Word of God. And this eternal Word of God we received. And if they were gods, what are we then? If they were sons of the Most High, who are we then, beloved? Believe it, once for all. As long as we will be on earth, the earthly things are around us. But in the same way, we know that in us is groaning, and we are waiting with all of the creation for the manifestation of the sons of God. Beloved, God, at the end, He will have a flock of which He doesn't have to be ashamed of, a multitude which will believe Him and trust in Him, and through which He can confirm His word. These men, they not only heard the word, they saw it confirmed, except it was prophecy which had to be fulfilled in a far future. But they carried the precious and holy word of God. Dear heart, what are we carrying in this time? Moses carried what God spoke to him. Noah carried what God spoke to him. Elijah, what God spoke to him. And Isaiah, what God spoke to him. And all the other prophets. Everyone was carrying what God revealed to him. And you know what is with us? We carry all of the word of God, which came to Noah, to Moses, to Elijah, to Isaiah. All of the word of God we carry in our hearts. Oh, that we could understand it, and that we could comprehend it by faith tonight. Of ourselves, looking away from ourselves, looking to the Lord, to Jesus. The people came and they said, "You, who you are a man, what do you make out of yourself? This is blasphemy which you bring over your lips." Beloved, this was the accusation of them who didn't hear to that what God has spoken through the prophets. Otherwise, They would have spoken in conformity with the word of prophecy. There were people who walked in darkness, as we heard it in the word of introduction. And in the darkness in which they were, they stumbled. The Holy Scripture says, he who walks in the light does not stumble. When the light of the Word of God has come forth in us, then we will no more stumble. Let us take it from tonight. Let us take it that you and me, he wants to tell you, I know that you are just a man. Don't you worry about it. I know, even more, I know that I, who you are a man, I know that I've created something divine and I made you born again unto a living hope. You are not just a child of man. You are a child of God. And this we must believe with our hearts. And then we are helped. These men, as we said, they were men like you and I. And if they would have looked on themselves, this comes now in one of the sermons. There, Brother Bram says, how could these men, their own mistakes and failures, how could they have written it into the Holy Scripture? He says, when prophets would have written, then nothing would be written of all that, what they have done wrong. But because it was God who spoke through them, inspiring them and writing through them, therefore everything you can find there, what took place. Outwardly, they were men and they died like all the others. Joseph, such a great man of God, in the Old Testament, he said, swear unto me that you does not leave my mortal remains. Take them with you into the land which God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew that the resurrection comes. We know that the resurrection comes. And we know that our soul, that our life is changed. But that we are still in this old body. And you all know, if one has reached a certain age, then one feels already old. And the thought came to me, although we start to tremble, and as our sister in the second row, she's over the age of 90, then the joy will be even greater when we know that one glorious morning we again will be in the bosom of our youth, changed in a moment, being taken up into glory of God. So, we who we became old, we shall not be grieved, but we should thank that the hour will come soon in which the changing will take place. We are not ordinary men. We are children of God. That's how the Holy Scripture says it. And the prophet Hosea, to whom the word of God came, said, ye who you were not my people, ye shall be called sons of the living God. and this we are. Hallelujah. This we just have to believe with all our hearts. And then we will look away from all human things, which time and again pulls us down. And the divine will be able to unfold in us. If we deal with the natural, then it will abound. And if we deal with the divine, then the divine will abound. And this we want, that God by grace comes to his right. You, who you are just a man, makest thyself God. He was God. He is God and remains God throughout eternity. He just took upon himself the shape of a man. It is true. The people could come to you and to me and saying, listen, what? You want to be a child of God? And so forth. Beloved, and it starts to jubilate in our hearts. And something speaks inside. You don't want to be it. You simply became it by his grace. You are what God made out of you. And if we can believe it, then we will behold the glory of God. We could look to David and saying, oh, this you did. I don't read any psalm anymore. Finished, David. Sing your psalms to whom you like, not to me. And so you could clean up with everybody. At the end, you would be alone. But alone without God, without the word of prophecy, and without hope. Let us look away from all human things and let us look unto the divine, because it is about to abound and to be manifested among the people of God. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. We are of divine kindred. We are children of God. Hallelujah. This we believe with all our hearts. Shall we not thank God today for it? But I think really thanking him, as you would thank the Lord if he could be here tonight. And you would see him. And you would know it is him to whom all things is due. My redemption, everything for eternity. What would happen then? A jubilation would break forth. A heavenly joy would flood our hearts. And we would thank our Lord. He said, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are they who don't see and yet believe. Bodily, we didn't see him, but we believe with all our hearts in him. His word was not only addressed to the prophets, it came to you and to me. And God has sent a prophet at the end of time to summarize all of the word and to bring it. Let us receive it. Let us not be proud as we heard it, but let us pay attention what the Lord wants to tell us. He wants to make us clear who you and I are in his eyes, namely children of God, sons and daughters of the Most High. We are of divine kindred, and we are in the great privilege in comparison to all the prophets. They had to still wait. We can take it home on the spot. Today, Nobody needs to leave this building as children of men. Today, every one of us can leave this building as a child of God. I remind you in closing to the precious word from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. Believe today in the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord. And he will make out of a child of man, he will make a child of God. And nevertheless, you will still be a child of man. Praise and thanks be to our God. How many scriptures could be mentioned here? Paul says, we bear this treasure in an earthly vessel, but the power which will be manifested doesn't come from us, but comes from God, so that no one can glory himself. And whoever glories, let him glory in the Lord. And this we want to do now. Paul says, if I want to be glory, then at the most in my weakness, and this would be a bad glory, if everyone would glory in his weakness, then we rather forget our glorying. Yes. But if we today, tonight, glorify and praise the Lord for that, what he has done, then may such a praise ascend up to him as never before. Did you receive it today by faith, precious brother, precious sister? Let it no longer be taken away from you. Let it not be disputed to you. What God said, this is correct. Stand on his word. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his word remains forever. And because we received his word, therefore we remain with him throughout eternity by the word. Oh, what could be said here? Some just read, God spoke at sundry times by the prophets unto the fathers. And then comes the sermon. What good is it for you and me if God would not have spoken to you and to me, if we don't understand what he made out of us? God spoke, and in Christ, everything was summarized. He is the answer of God, and in Christ, you and I, we receive our answer in Christ. And it is written, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new. Let us receive this today by faith, thanking God for it. In Jesus' name, Amen.